This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we are. The Caps are rolling along. It is mid-October. We've got lots of games going on, and I know some people were really worried when this season started. The team didn't look that great out the gate, but I gotta say, things are improving. It seems as if players are getting a little bit more comfortable. It takes some time. We have a small sample size at the moment. But things are moving along. Things are looking okay. No reason for all doom and gloom like Coach Dan is all the time. Speaking of which,
hey.
joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm feeling a little attacked right now.
See? Doom and gloom. There he is.
No, that's you literally... Okay. Walked into that one.
I know it's the weather. The sun hasn't been out since Sunday. I know how you're feeling. It's been a gloomy time here in the Delmarva area. But hey, here we are. We got Caps hockey on TV to brighten all the spirits. How's it going, man? How you feeling? How you feeling about this team? What are we? 2 weeks in? 3 weeks into this this campaign? I think we're.
We're going into our third week. Let's put it that way.
We're into the midst of the third week, and we're approaching.
We are wrapping up the second full week since we started on a Wednesday.
True. And we've got a pretty big road trip approaching coming up. Going to be a toughie on the road for the next week or so. But here we are. We're closing out October with this road trip. The Caps, they're doing okay. They're doing okay. This isn't bad. My voice is really high for some reason, but they're doing okay, right?
What's going on there? Your voice is very high-pitched. I don't know what that's all about. But no, I mean, they're all right. They're 4-3 right now. They're a point out of first place, so they have played one more game than Carolina, who is currently sitting in first. I tie with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's played one more game. Not the point. They're doing all right. They've had their ups and downs. We have yet to see them play a full 60-minute game, but... You know, I was thinking about that the other day in terms of listening to Caps this morning when they're talking about it. And I was like, how many teams actually play a 60-minute game? You know, there are lags throughout the game. It's 60 minutes of hockey. You've got three 20-minute periods. And, you know, you're going to have your off moments. I think the biggest concern is that they have a full period where they're off. And that's the problem. You know, I think you want to see – I think what we would call a 60-minute game is each period they have good focus, good control. You know, and that isn't to say that other teams aren't going to be better or play better than them. And they're going to lose some games throughout the season. That's just a natural part of sports, especially when you play so many games, you're not going to win them all. But I think the concern is that they take whole periods off. And that isn't to say that like the players are like, you know, not trying, but they get dominated or they just play poorly throughout a full 20 minutes or 40 minutes. And that's the bigger concern. You know, they don't have to win the period, but they do have to play in that period. And sometimes they're just not doing that. But you know what? They're 4-3. They had went, 2-1 in the last week. Not a great game against Ottawa, but were able to come out and beat LA and the Devils. So that's nice. You know, Devils are they were on a 3-game winning streak. Ottawa has had, if I heard that correctly this morning on Caps this morning, they've had a 4-game winning streak or a 3-game winning streak after playing the Capitals. So they've done quite well for themselves. And, you know, LA's LA. I actually don't know if LA's any good this season. How are they starting? They are 4-4. So they're about the same as the Caps. They're so-so. So, you know, there's things to look forward to. There's things to be concerned about. But we're only 7 games in. I think we need a few more games where we really are going to know kind of what we're looking at. And obviously a lot can change between now and midpoint of the season. You know, trade deadline. The end of the season. But... There's things to be concerned about and things to be happy about.
Yeah, I usually like to say Black Friday is the point in the season where the front office or the coach or whatever goes, yeah, this ain't working. Like you give it like a solid month to kind of work out the kinks, and if it's still not working by then it's time to not blow things up, but it's time to make changes. So, I mean, I'm not going to be concerned or really worried about wins, losses at this very moment. I'm going to give it another month or so until we really start figuring things out. And there are a lot of new players. The defense looks pretty much the same, but I'm going to continue to say that. The offense and the goaltending are kind of new, so they're still getting their footing. They're still getting their feet wet. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to things. And certain players are really flourishing right now. You got to be confident and happy for guys like Connor Sheary, who are coming out leading the team in goals right now. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but good for Connor Sheary. He's looking good.
I mean, when you have a guy like Alex Ovechkin on your roster and you're got more goals than he is again, seven games in, you're doing something right. And I've never been overly excited about having Connor Sheary on the team. And that's not necessarily, it's kind of a shot at him, but like as a athlete, I think part of that is just because he's played for the Penguins. He's there for a while. And, you know, it's always a bit awkward to be like, I don't like you because you play for the rival, but then they come to your team and you're like, well, now I have to, you know, he's doing quite well, and credit where credit is due. He's doing well. He's leading the team in goals with four, only got that one assist, but it helps play on line with Alex Ovechkin where the opposing teams gonna be focusing heavily on him. But you know what? He was given an opportunity. He's taking advantage of it. So credit to him.
Yeah. I mean, did you think starting out in training camp or this season that we would be seeing at least this early on a line of Alex Ovechkin, Daniel Strom, and Connor Sheary as our number one line?
No, but that's mostly because I didn't anticipate another big injury after, you know, Backstrom has been out and Wilson's out and then Connor Brown goes down and you're like, what is going on with the medical staff? Like, can someone protect these guys? Like, what's the deal? So there's some obvious issues there in terms of the health of some of these players. But no, if someone had said, oh, this is going to be our top line, I would have been like, what? Yeah. Like, what are you on or what has happened to the rest of this team?
And good news, you know, you did just bring up Tom Wilson and Nick Backstrom. Good news is that they were actually seen skating earlier this week as well at MedStar.
I think it was today.
Capitals Iceplex. Was it today? Yeah, that's really good news.
I think it was
news.
This morning, yeah. Yeah, they, I mean, it wasn't a ton of skating, I believe. I think they're out there for a few minutes before practice started, but it's just, you know, I think it's a normal start of their recovery. When I read it said that he being Tom Wilson, is ahead of schedule in terms of his return. I think they had him kind of pegged for a December, January return. Maybe he can get earlier in December, probably not November, but maybe early in December, he could start making his way back. You know, I think next steps for him once he's ready is to have him start working himself into practice, probably in a non-contact jersey and then in a contact jersey. And then he's going to go get into a fight in the next game or something like that, being Tom Wilson. So, you know, there's a good opportunity for him to come back at some point in the relative near future. But, you know, Backstrom, we still see. But the fact that he's on the ice skating a little bit, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of having Tom Wilson come back, having Nick Backstrom come back, you got to get excited at least a little bit because you know that they're progressing. Now, Backstrom, he's going to be a little bit longer than Tom Wilson. We know that, but still any sort of progression from those guys. I mean, it's good because they make the team better. They really do. Speaking of guys, though, that make this team a whole lot better is the guy who's got the C on his chest, Alexander Ovechkin, who this season is just getting started, already making history. Again, that's all this guy does. That's why he's one of the best ever. But already making history again. He scored his 783rd career goal, moving past Gordie Howe for second most game-winning goals in NHL history. And he's only trailing Jaromir Jagr, another guy that we know very well here in Washington.
For better or for worse. Yeah, it seems like every couple of games he's got a goal or an assist, and he's passing somebody. He's got 122 game-winning goals in his career. He's only, what is that? Let's do some math. 13 behind Jagr, who had 135. That, I feel like, it is a harder one just because of the realities of a game, that you could have a game winner and then someone scores and it's taken away from you, or you score the, you know, to put your team up by two, but then the other team scores and now it becomes a game winner. And so that one's always a bit tricky in terms of like chasing a record per se versus, you know, just trying to go for the all-time goals lead. But he's, you know, he's catching up to Gordie Howe in terms of all-time goals. and you know, being able to be put himself in a spot or an opportunity and have the skill set to be just trusted by the coaching staff to be out there when they need to chase a game or get a game winning goal is just a credit to him as an athlete and as a hockey player. So 122, that's crazy. And to think, knock on wood, things go well, I think he's like, what, 112 away from Gretzky or something like that. Like, the all-time goal scorer in NHL history could be in a cap sweater. I mean, that's just nuts. So, you know, we'll see what other records he can break.
Do you think he can beat Jágr this season, game-winning goals? I mean, we're early.
I just feel like, yeah, but that many in a season, like how many? I don't even know if they keep, like, NHL, let's see, NHL game-winning goals 2022. Let's see. I mean, how many do you think? 82 games, the most is what, like 10? Probably? No, that can't be right.
Does this also include empty netters? Are they considered game-winning goals?
I think it can be. So, like, if you go up by two with an empty net goal and then the other team scores, like, yeah, your empty netter is the game winner.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Most game-winning goals in 21-22 was 11. A bunch of guys were tied. Kreider with the Rangers, Draisaitl with the Oilers, Stamkos in Tampa, and Jason Robertson in Dallas. And then Austin Matthews had 10. So, you know, no, I don't think he's going to catch him this season or potentially even next. You know, I think the odds of you getting a game winning goal, I'm not doing the math on that. Someone else can figure it out, but I'm going to guess it's a low number.
Yeah, I'm not going to look that up. You know, I work in TV. I don't know this quick math.
1 in 18.
Yeah.
Is that so many skaters are potentially on the ice? Not at a time. That'd be nuts. But like in a game. So I don't know. Or no, wouldn't it be 1 in 36? It doesn't matter. The point is, it's probably not that frequent. So we shall see.
Now we got to talk about some of the young guys here. With Connor Brown going down, it made up an opening. And we talked about this last week, the fact that Connor McMichael and Joe Snively both were going to get into the lineup. And they did. They did.
If only for a moment.
If only for a moment. And then it was decided for the Monday game, Connor McMichael was going to sit, and Beck Malenstein, who got called up from Hershey, he was going to get a sweater this time around. So what have you thought of these young guys? Has there anybody that has kind of pushed ahead of the others of who would get a sweater on most nights? Do you think there's anybody that has impressed you or the other coaches on this team?
Well, it seems like Malenstein is done pretty well on that fourth line. And I think his skill set and what he can do matches up better for that role than a Connor McMichael or even, you know, an Alexi Protas. I think he plays in a more defensive game that you want with paired up with Nick Dowd and Garnet Hathaway. Bring some energy. Those guys running around or skating around and doing quite well. And so I think the coaching staff, I think the, it was either Dowd or Hathaway. We're talking about how he really brings something to that line. And, you know, I think that's a really good thing for this team. And I think he's going to make it hard for them to necessarily send him back down when someone comes back healthy. You know, and it's nice to have younger players that are able to come and fill in because this is the second oldest team in the league on average age. And that is not ideal unless you're one of the top teams in the league, you know. As you get older, we've talked about this a million times. As you get older, your body doesn't heal quite as quickly. And so when you have injuries, it takes you a little bit longer. So you need young guys a little bit longer to come back. So you need young guys that can step up and step in and produce. And it seems like Malenstein might be the guy to produce on the fourth line, especially after they lost Leeson and Axel Janssen-Fjällby.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's played yet this season.
So those guys got, well, I think
Leeson's played.
Leeson has played. Yeah. I don't know if Axel has.
I'll look him up right now to see.
But Alexis Protas, he was a guy, he was like the star of training camp. He was a guy that everybody was talking about. He was a guy that I think he played in every exhibition game. He was there to impress. Luckily, he did get on the score sheet and he did get an assist this past Monday, so that's good for him. But to me, he was kind of like, he was going to be the mainstay. It was the other three guys that were going to be battling for a spot in the lineup, because it seemed like Protas was the one that, at a training camp, beat all these guys and was able to get a spot every night. So it was good to see him kind of show up on Monday, get a goal, get an assist, and finally get on the score sheet. So it's got to be a confidence booster for him. But one guy we've been talking about a lot, talked about him in training camp, talked about him last week, is Connor McMichael, and how we brought up the fact that this guy might do well in Hershey rather than sitting in the press box and only practicing every once in a while with the Capitals. And it actually got brought up to Coach Laviolette by one of the reporters recently in a press scrum. And they said, you know, is Connor McMichael, is there a chance that he goes down to Hershey? And Laviolette said no. And they said, well, is this enough for him to just be practicing with the big leagues? And Laviolette was pretty much like, well, that's all he needs right now. He's gonna learn. He's gonna watch. He's gonna get better from doing this, doing that. Of course, every player wants to skate, but that's not his role right now. So let me ask you: do you agree with Laviolette's assumption here that Connor McMichael is going to do just as well or learn at the same pace as he would if he stays up at the big leagues? I mean, I'm sure Connor McMichael's enjoying the jet rides and all that kind of fun stuff that comes with the NHL career, but is it best for him to be off the ice for as long as he is?
So I get, obviously Laviolette knows more than I do. There's no question there. But I question how much he can get just practicing and just watching, because he needs to have opportunities to play. He needs to have opportunities to go up against other professional athletes to see how much he's learned from practice and how much he's gaining by observing. Like, I get it if he's, you know, he plays a game or two and then he's up in the press box and he's in a game or two and he's up in the press box and, like, he's, you know, having opportunities to actually play. But he's not. He's not getting those opportunities. And so I really am questioning the benefits of him just sitting out. And would it make more sense for him in the long run to be getting games in Hershey, to be getting opportunities to play against adults in a league that's not, you know, an easy league to play in? And it's the reason it's the second highest league in North America. And so I think it makes sense to me to send him down and let him play and let him continue to progress. Now, there is the risk that you send him down and he's so dominant there that he's not actually getting any better. And that may end up actually potentially stunting his growth. But if he's so dominant in the AHL, let's give him a run in the NHL and give him a couple of games, not just one game. Give him more opportunities. Like, how bad or how not good enough is he in practice that you can't give him an opportunity to play? It's not like this team is blowing people out of the water right now. Like, is putting him in going to hurt that much? I don't know. Now, they have won the last two games, so I don't know how much you want to mess with what's going on, but I don't know. I'm questioning it right now in terms of how beneficial it actually is to have him sitting up in the press box every night and just practicing.
I found it kind of interesting because now that they have Beck Malenstein up here, they're trying to give these guys different days in on the ice, different days off the ice, different ones in the press box. But Connor McMichael did get benched for Beck Malenstein to make room for him. So obviously he didn't make a big enough impression in the game that he did play to not warrant him staying in the game for the next game. So, I mean, I guess this is a learn-as-you-go type of thing with Laviolette. It's maybe he just doesn't like the way that Connor McMichael plays. I don't know. I'm not in Lavi's head, so I'm not sure what's going on there. But I remember everybody being so excited for Connor McMichael. I guess what was it, in 2020 or in 2019, and how that he was going to make this huge splash and he was going to be a big deal and they were going to build around him. And I don't know. I don't know if he just hasn't been given the opportunity to flourish. I mean, he was with the Capitals all of last year. So you think he would have impressed at that point. But even last year, he barely made this team You know, it was between him and Hendrix LaPierre, and they kept LaPierre. They kept him for as long as they could until they had to send him down to the juniors. So they maxed out that contract of his and let him stay for as long as he possibly could. So I don't know. I don't know if it's McMichael. I don't know if it's Laviolette. The two of them just don't mesh. I don't know if Laviolette's just looking for a different type of player, or like you said, there's just not a space for him right now.
He just may not be good enough at this point. He's 21 years old, you know.
He's still a young guy.
What was I doing at 21? You know, he's still a young guy. It's not like he's like, well, career's over, buddy. Career AHLer. Like, that's definitely not the case. But I just question, how much is he actually gaining, you know? And again, Laviolette knows way more than I do, but that doesn't mean I can't question the methods or the tactics that he's using with a young player that should be playing. Everything we hear is that young players should play, whether it's the NHL, AHL, you know, whatever league it might be. You know, I guess sometimes, you know, if you look at, let's compare it to the NFL, you have a rookie quarterback playing behind a veteran. You know, the rookie's learning some, right? But when he gets it and plays, does he learn more, both through good and bad? The right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do in that situation? Should I pinch here? Should I move here? Should I move the puck at this point? Should I wait? Should I hold it? Like, he's not getting a lot of those things by sitting up in the press box. So, you know, you get some stuff by watching, obviously, but is it enough? Have they stunted his growth? Are they trying not to stunt his growth since he did so well in the AHL? It's tough to say, but to me, it makes more sense to have him playing every night or as much as he can.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe they'll make a blockbuster trade or something like that, and Connor McMichael does. They just have to send him down. I mean,
no.
We'll see.
Oh, you're saying they don't trade him away. They trade for someone and need a roster spot. Yeah, okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, maybe something like that will happen, but who knows? But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about goaltending here. I got to say, the goaltending, I think, is looking better than it did at the very beginning of 2 weeks ago, but Charlie Lindgren, he's a guy I really didn't know anything about before he got here. I've been super impressed with the games that he has played. He knows his role. He knows he's the backup, which I think really does help. But that last game he played, there were some very Holtby-esque saves by Charlie Lindgren that I've been very impressed with. Like, reaching back with the stick, reaching back with the glove, getting some saves that, I mean, he had no business of saving, but he was able to do it anyway. I'm very impressed with him. What a pickup by the front office and Brian McClellan.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like that they're not having the same issues they had last season. And that, you know, that's sometimes going to happen when you go with two young goaltenders that, you know, sometimes things just don't work out and they're not what you expected them to be, and they're not playing to the level you need them to be. But, you know, there are times last season where the goalies didn't step up, and I think we're seeing more of that this year. And Lindgren, I think, is, he came in, like you said, he came in knowing he was the backup, that he was going to get, you know, 10 to 20 games somewhere around there, that he wasn't going to be playing every night. And I think to an extent that kind of helps, because, you know, you're going to have a stretch where you're not playing in games. And so how do you mentally prepare? How do you physically prepare for that? I imagine that's very different than being a starter, or very different not knowing how much of a leash or a rope you're going to get, or the other guy's going to get. You know, Vanecek and Samsonov probably didn't always know that they were going to get multiple games in a row. They like are going into it going, well, if I play really well, I might get more opportunities, but if I play like garbage, I'm not. This is different this year. They have a number one in Kemper, and they have a number two in Lindgren. And Kemper knows that, well, if I have a bad game, I'm still the number one guy. And, you know, I think, you know, you'd mentioned that they kind of struggled to start the season. So did the rest of the team. Everybody kind of struggled to start the season.
Not just the Caps. Every team, it seems, in the NHL.
Yeah, it's been a little weird right now. But, you know, things will even out. I mean, hey, parity's not such a bad thing. But I think having a number one, a clear number one and number two, can only benefit this team, because they know what they're expected and what's expected of them. They know that, and, you know, Lindgren knows, I need to have myself prepared to go in at any minute in terms of filling in, but I'm not going in to be the starter. And Kemper knows, this is my spot. I'm the number one guy. I'm going to hopefully be here for a while, and I'm the one this team is going to rely on to keep the puck out of the net. And I think that is only a benefit to this team.
Big time. Now let's look ahead. Let's look ahead at this upcoming week. I know we always talk about it at the end of the show, but this is the first big road trip that this team has. And they've got three tough teams that they're going to be up against coming up here, all on the road. They're going to Texas, to Dallas, up against the Stars. Then they go to Smashville, up against the Predators. And then on Halloween, very scary, Carolina Hurricanes. So that's a big test. Big early season test for this team. I'm going to be honest, on this road trip, I don't know if this team comes away with any wins, because all three of these teams are very good, and we know that the Capitals do not play well in Nashville. They just don't. They never have. Well, last couple of years, they've had a lot of trouble playing in Nashville. But this road trip is definitely going to... I'm not going to say make or break, because it's only a month into the season. But I'm going to say this is going to be their first really big...
Well, it's over, guys!
Yeah, this is going to be the first really big test for this team to see how they fare. Because the last couple of years, the team has been a very good road team. But these three teams, you know, with one day off in between each game for travel, this is a rough road schedule to start off the... or end October in, I should say.
I mean, yeah, I think this is their first real big test, and especially with a road game, road trip. There's the words I'm looking for. The Dallas Stars are doing really well right now. I mean, they're given it's early in the season. They're tied for first, but they're 4-2-1. Carolina right now is leading. They're 4-1-1. Nashville's the only one that is not doing as well. They're 2-4-1. But like you said, the Caps struggle to win in Nashville. So I think, you know, if you come away from this road trip with a 1-2 record, I think you've done okay. If you come away with 0-3 record, that's not so great. And if you can come away with at least 4 points, well, they get a total of 6 points. If you can come away with 3 to 4 points, I'd take it. You know, I'd love six. That'd be nice. But if you can get three, you know, I'm okay with that too.
I would really like, this is on a bucket list. I really want to see the Caps play the Predators in Nashville one day. I've never been to Nashville. It seems like a really cool town. It seems like they really dig their hockey team. I want to go to that barn just to see what it's like.
What if the building was actually looks like on the outside like a barn?
I think that would be even cooler.
That would be amazing.
That would be really cool. Now, before we get out of Caps World here, I do have to backtrack a little bit. So we talked about the leak of the reverse retros for the Capitals, and I was like, yeah, you know, they're fine. They're okay. They're all right. Now seeing them like on a person and seeing the team model them, I freaking love this jersey. I love the whole getup. I love it all. I love the gloves. I love the pants. I love the skates, the helmets. I am full on. I like this better than last year's reverse retros. I'm being honest.
Hey, you bite your tongue.
I swear to you.
Is there a jersey this team has that you don't like?
The Winter Classic one is probably my least favorite one. Well, there's an old show. Listen to that one.
Wait, which one? Which Winter Classic?
The one where they were in DC. The maroon one.
Oh, the red? Yeah, that is a weird one. That's definitely the weakest jersey I think the Caps have.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the away white.
Yeah, I don't like that it's see-through. I can't stand that. That annoys me. But this reverse retro.
Never really noticed that.
Watch them in the away jerseys. You can always see their gear underneath that white jersey. And that
I have seen that before. It's not just the Caps. That is a little weird, though.
Yeah, not a fan. That just bugs the crap out of me.
I do kind of like, miss Holtby, the old bulky jerseys.
Holtby used to have gear underneath his jerseys that had designs on it. Like, I think he had Capitol buildings or something on his chest, and you could always tell what he was wearing underneath that jersey, which always annoyed the crap out of me because it always looked like that design was cooler than what was on the actual sweater.
Fair point. Yeah, I miss the old bulky jerseys sometimes. I just thought those were always kind of fun going to games in those, and a little warm when you go to a game early in the season or late in the season. But I like these reverse retros. I don't know if I like them more than last year's, but I'd say they're up there. And when it was the main jersey, I always wanted to go back to the red, white, and blue. And I still think this team should have red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
But I do a little bit miss the Screamin' Eagle logo. And I definitely miss the Capitol Dome logo, and I'd love to see those incorporated each year.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I wonder, would they be allowed? So, like, some teams have, I feel like there's one or two teams that took their reverse retros and made it their third jersey.
It didn't, Arizona do that?
Are the Caps, I wonder if the Caps would be allowed, or any teams would be allowed to do that after the partnership with Adidas ends.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, when Adidas took over, remember, the Caps jerseys changed very slightly.
Yeah,
we're talking,
anything.
I mean, that the blue line stopped at, like, the armpit area. It now goes across. But we're talking minor things. I wonder if what kind of changes there will be when they have a new, obviously, kit supplier, because I'm thinking European football. But when they have a new, jersey maker company, some clothing company, be it Nike or...
Yeah, that's this year, right? After this season? Isn't Adidas done?
I think it's...
Was it next year?
Next year. I think it's happening next year.
I know it's soon, which I thought was really odd. It was that done. It was like one and done that quick.
It expires after next year. Expires for 23-24 season. Thanks, okay. Greg Wyshynski. I'm calling it now. Under Armour is what they're going to end up with. I'm not saying it's because I don't necessarily want it to be Under Armour. I'm just calling it that Under Armour will be the company.
They've been begging to be an outfitter for any sort of league. Like, they really, really have. They've been trying hard. And they've done, like, you know, The Dark Knight Rises and Friday Night Lights and Blindside. I mean, they've done, like, movie sets. And they've been the maker of any kind of sporting athletic thing. So maybe they can do the NHL. I don't know. We'll see.
I have absolutely... no insider knowledge. This is 100% a guess, but I'm guessing Under Armour.
Hey, and they're a Baltimore-based company, so I'm all for it. Bring them home. Bring them home. So anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
No, man. I think we covered everything.
Yeah. You know, it's start of the season. Boys are getting there. Give them some time to get their legs underneath them, but... not a terrible start to the season. Could it be better? Sure. But it could be better across the league as well. So I think we're fine. I think they're okay. No need to go crazy. It's October. So we'll get there. But that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 0-1-1 in the past week, losing in regulation and overtime to Charlotte. So one out of a possible 4 points. Not ideal. They'll be back at it on Friday at Hartford before hosting the Baby Pens at the Giant Center on Saturday. They'll then host Lehigh Valley on Sunday. Down in South Carolina, where their season apparently started this past Friday. Thanks, confusing website. Anyway, they went 2-0 to start their season with both wins over Norfolk, who, by the way, updated their logo a little bit. Not a fan.
Really? I got to see this.
It's not a major change, but I really like the other one, and I not a fan. So anyways, Stingrays will be back at it with back-to-back games starting on Friday in Greenville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start and end in Vegas, where congratulations are in order for the new NHL Ironman, Phil Kessel. On Tuesday night, he played in his 990th straight game. Baltimore Orioles legend and the real Iron Man, if you ask me, Cal Ripken Jr. tweeted. He sent out a nice tweet to Kessel congratulating him and said he's playing so many consecutive games in a grueling and demanding sport of hockey is remarkable. So Kessel began his streak back on November 3rd of 2009. Brandon, can you remember that far back?
Oh, man. 2009? We were just a couple young pups then.
It was so long ago. We were, you know, relatively fresh out of college.
Yeah.
Kind of. It'd been a few years. But since that time, he's played for Toronto, Boston, Pittsburgh, Arizona, and now he's with Vegas. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
Find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking about Capitals hockey and getting frustrated when they do things that are stupid. What did I get mad at recently? I can't even remember.
You're always mad about something.
No, that's Ryan.
He is an angry Canadian.
Ryan is literally the only angry Canadian on the planet. Except for that dude that hates Ovechkin since he came into the league.
Don Cherry?
No, he's not angry. He's just...
delusional?
Don Cherry. Yeah, maybe he's a little crazy. I forget the last thing I got mad at, but anyways, yeah. So anyways, Tom, they're talking about Caps hockey, Arsenal Football Club, Bills, Commanders, how they have won two games in a row. I'll never understand. This team is so poorly run.
They beat the Packers.
I know. Well, yeah, but Packers also have like no one that can catch the ball. You see the latest snafu that is the Washington Commanders and what they've done wrong this time. Had like cupcakes made for, I guess, everybody in the suites or whatever. So someone tweeted a picture out and like they had a cup, you know, they had the W, the paper looking W on all of the cupcakes, but a bunch of them had gotten like messed up. And like, they just like were smeared or something. And I was like, can you guys get nothing right?
They're going to say like they used the old logo before they were the Commanders.
No, but the co-owner of the team, the Tanya Snyder, the wife of owner and, genuine horrible human being Dan Snyder, they were doing it was like a homecoming weekend, and so they had like players, old, you know, not old players, applies there anyways, veterans who have been a part of the team, and they were doing like a rally, and she said something, hail to the Redskins and beat the Packers, and I was like, you're the freaking really?
I mean, it's old habits.
You're like,
guess.
Oh, well, we were trying to do the thing. And you're like, no, you weren't. No, you just messed up because you can't get out of your own way. That's your problem. I was like, oh my God. Like, it's one thing if one of the players that used to play say that and they're like, whatever, they're used to it. But like, you're the owner. You can't afford to mess it up. So, and I think Jason Wright did something similar. He said Skins. But I think he was trying to, I don't know, maybe I'm explaining his away. I think he was trying to reference the name of the team when they played for the some of the players that played for them. But it's not the point. The point is, if you're trying to move away from it, stop saying it. So, you know, this team just can't get out of its own way. But yeah, somehow that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of interesting information about the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, occasionally the Hershey Cubs. Things are not going so well for their owner right now up in Vancouver.
Got booed off the ice.
Yes, things are not going well for Mr. Bruce Boudreaux at the moment. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were talking about the moronic team that is the Commanders. And the number one team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. If someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should listen to?
That's right. Get yourself ready for Thursday Night Football and listen to the latest episode of The Call. That's my Baltimore Ravens podcast. You can listen to us wherever you get this podcast. And you can join our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Like us. Join our server, be a part of the conversation on game day. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube, All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Actually, it's going to be Coach Dan all on his lonesome next week, unfortunately. Aww. I will not be available, but Coach Dan will be here talking to himself, and it won't be weird this time.
I'd have someone else join, but I don't understand the technology well enough to actually get the recording.
You know, you could do that. You just record a Zoom. We can just record a Zoom convo. That's all right. We can do that. You can do separate audio tracks. I'll show you.
See, you've already lost me.
It's not hard. You can do it. You can do it.
I don't have time to do what you do, man. I got two kids.
All right, let's go over those games until you listen to Coach Dan next week. So on Thursday, October 27th, the Capitals are in Texas up against the Dallas Stars. That game starts at 8:30. You can watch it on NBC Sports Washington locally here. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And then on Saturday, October 29th, the Capitals are in Smashville up against the Predators. That game starts at 8 o'clock, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington, locally here. And then Halloween, scary. It's October 31st. The Capitals are in Carolina up against the Hurricanes. You can watch that one on the NHL Network or on NBC Sports Washington, plus 7 o'clock start for that one. So you're handing out your candy, and then you can watch the Caps up against the Carolina Hurricanes. And then the Caps kick off November 1st, All Saints Day, up against the Vegas Golden Knights back at home in D.C. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. So, man, lots of games to go over until Coach Dan is at it again next week. So, kind of crazy, lots of games. Going to be a tough road trip. Dallas, Nashville, Carolina. Riley, North Carolina. It's going to be that's a rough road trip right there, but hopefully the Caps can get through it. They only have one away game after that for 2 weeks, so good for them. They'll get to be home for a little bit after that long road trip. But that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.